Bibles today to the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 5. The book of Matthew chapter number 5. And while you're turning there, this is first Sunday. We do not have service tonight, but we have our Wednesday night service. We're still in the book of Judges. And so let's remember that. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 14 down through verse number 16. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I do not believe I've ever preached out of it down through the years. If I have, it's been a long time ago. And I don't think I have here. I'm pretty sure I haven't here. But you're all familiar with this Scripture. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for letting us be here. And I pray for your help as we stand and try to preach thy word today. I pray for liberty. I pray the word of the Lord would have free course. I pray that nothing would hinder in the service today, but that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts and help us and change us for thy honor and for thy glory. May your perfect will be done. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We have many blessings. We have many objects of prayer that's on our heart, that's on our mind. And Lord, people that are sick and just a lot of things going on. And we want to remember each and every one of these. But Lord, right now, just let our minds and hearts look at thy word and speak to us as you would. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right. This is a passage of Scripture that no doubt you've heard quoted, referred to, but we're going to try to preach out of it this morning. If we just go back to verse number 14, the Bible says this, one sentence. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." And if we took everything that the Bible said about light and tried to put it all together, we could fill up volumes of books. The Bible has a lot to say about light and the contrast between light and darkness. You might have heard somebody talk about a month of Sundays. You could fill up a month of Sundays in messages. A month of Sundays would be 30 or 31 Sundays. It would be almost a year of preaching. And so you could get a lot of preaching. You get a lot of material out of what the Bible has to say about light. In fact, the first words we ever read that God said concerned light. He said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All of humanity understands light. Doesn't matter what nationality, man, woman, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. Everybody understands light. That's one thing we all experience, we all have in common. In fact, a blind person understands light. That they can tell some of them, not all of them, but they can tell, even though if you couldn't see anything, you could tell and recognize light, somebody that wasn't totally blind. So there is, when we think about this, this is something that everybody can understand. On over in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, when Egypt was about to be overtaken by, or when Israel was about to be overtaken by Egypt, and Israel was at the Red Sea, the Lord, the Bible says, put darkness between Egypt and Israel. And so where Egypt was, there was darkness. That's in Joshua 24, verse 7. And where the children of Israel were, there was light in their dwelling. So they had light. And Egypt had darkness. And we think about that. We think about one of the best memory verses in the Bible. Psalms 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so we think about the Word of God is light unto us and gives us instruction and points the way in a dark world. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse number 5, He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so you see, we could go on and on talking about what the Bible has to say about light. And when Jesus said that, He had just healed a blind man. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus is not in the world right now. He's in heaven. But you know what? We are in the world. And our reason for being in this world, we find in chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said to the disciples, He said, "Ye are the light of the world." And so we find that we have an awesome responsibility. That is our text. Ye are the light of the world. And I want to try to preach on the subject today. This would be the title to the message, "Let My Life Be a Light." And that's the title to a well-known song. We know that song. We sing it. It's page 169 in the Red Songbook. And the chorus goes like this. It says, "Let my life be a light, shining out through the night, may I help struggling ones to the fold, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul." That'd be a great motto to take for our lives. Let my life be a light. And so let me point out some things. I think there's five things that I want to show you in verses 14 through 16 about "Let my life be a light." Number one, we find in verse number 14, there is our purpose. Our purpose, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." That's a pretty important thing. In fact, if you think about it this morning, what the sun, the moon, and the stars are physically to this universe that we live in, that's where we get our light from, the sun. The sun reflects off the moon. I went out the other night. It was a full moon or almost a full moon. It looked like the moon was shining. Of course, we realize the moon doesn't shine, but it's just a reflection of the sun. And that's what we're supposed to be, a reflection of the S-O-N. His light is to shine and reflect off of us. The sun, the moon, and the stars, these are, this is where we lights up the physical universe. We are to be spiritually to this world what the sun, moon, and the stars are physically to this world. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, the Bible gives us the problem in Psalms chapter 107. And the problem is this. Psalms 107, verse number 10 says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." And so the whole world, we find as we study the Bible, sits in darkness, spiritually speaking. And the people of the world that are not saved by the grace of God are referred to in the Bible as sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's a pretty dark place to be. That's the problem. But that's in Psalms. That's in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, chapter 107. That's the problem. The answer is found in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And it quotes Psalms 107. But when it's talking in Luke chapter number 1, guess who it's talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 79, it's talking about Jesus, and it says this. It says that Jesus came, and I'm paraphrasing up to that point, but verse 79 says, "to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." You see, the problem is such as sit in darkness. But when Jesus came, He came to give light to them that sat in darkness. And that is our purpose in the world. Our purpose in the world, if we fail to show the world the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to. The government is not the light of the world. Did you know that? Now, they act like they are, and they think they are, but they're not the light of the world. And it is not their responsibility to be the light of the world. God nowhere called the government to be the light of the world, but He told His followers, "Ye are the light of the world." The government is not the light of the world. Hollywood, you ever heard of Hollywood stars? I know that you have. You know, they're not the light of the world. Kim turns on Good Morning America. I don't know why they call it that, because they don't have any good news on Good Morning America. She'll turn that on just about every morning. She's in there, and she'll watch a few minutes of it. I think that's what it is, Good Morning America. And they always have different news from around the world. And then it always interests me if I'm in there, and I'll sort of watch a few minutes of it, and they'll say, now for today's pop news, and that's Hollywood and singers and all like that. They'll say, now for today's pop news, and everybody goes, woo! And they all holler and clap, and I say every time, why are people so excited about that? Who's getting divorced? Who left who? Who made a movie? All kinds of stuff like this. But what have they got to offer? Nothing. They got nothing to offer. Hollywood's not the light of the world. The news media is not the light of the world. The universities and the colleges are not the light of the world. You know, the world puts a great, great emphasis. Go to college, go to university, and that's good. Education is good. But if you don't have the light of Christ, you have no light. And you can be very, very educated, and you can be very, very knowledgeable about the things of this world and still sit in darkness. They're not the light of the world. Jesus told the disciples, Jesus told a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and a small group of people that were following after him. He told them, he said, guess what? Ye are the light of the world. That is their purpose. And so that is what we're supposed to do. Think about that this morning. Boy, you didn't come to church to get a big load put on your shoulders, did you? But that puts a mighty big responsibility upon us that Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. If we claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Him as our Savior, we are supposed to be. That is our purpose. The light of the world. Just what the sun does, just what the stars do, and we look up and everybody, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shine for Jesus in a dark world. Ye are the light of the world. That is our purpose. Now, second of all, this morning, there is a prominence. Prominence. Look what the Bible said in verse number 14. After Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, he said this, a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's something that is very prominent, that sticks out. You ever heard something sticks out like a sore thumb? You know what I thought about when I thought about a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid? I thought about Sugar Top up here. That big condominium that sits on the top of Sugar Mountain. And when they built that many years ago, oh, you talk about how people fussed. They didn't want to look at the mountains and see the mountains and the beauty and all that. And it is beautiful. But people got to thinking about it and they thought, you know, we don't want the mountains covered up, so they passed ridge laws. That's why there's only one big condominium that sits on top of a mountain in the mountains of North Carolina. They passed laws, said, all right, that one can go up, but no more. And when that one's gone, there'll be no more. But you know what? You can see Sugar Top from all over this county. And we were going somewhere the other day, and I told, I guess, Kim and Chloe or whoever is in the car, I told them about that. I said, right there, Sugar Top, you can always know where you are. You can go out in Zionville. You can go over in Tennessee. You can go on. You can go all over the county. Get up. You can see Sugar Top. That is a city that is set on a hill. And shrubbery is not going to hide that. You can paint it green and it's going to stick out. There's no way to hide it. It's very prominent. Jesus said we're to be like that. We shouldn't be hiding, but we ought to be very prominent as lights of the world. Because the city that is set on a hill, there's no way to hide that. Look what else he said in verse number 15. Not only did he use, in verse 14, he used the illustration of a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. If you are really saved by the grace of God, if you are a child of God, you are not going to be able to hide it. Others will see Christ in you. I will go so far to say, even if you are backslid, you are out of God's will, and you are in the wrong crowd, you're still not going to be able to hide it. Say, preacher, how can you say something like that? Because Peter was backslid, out of God's will, and he was in the wrong crowd. And some of that crowd got to looking around, and Peter was there in John chapter 18, and he was warming his hands by their fire. And somebody looked at him and said, art thou not also one of his disciples? Somebody noticed, hey, there's just something different about this fella. There's just something different about, I think he's one of the disciples. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he wasn't saying what he was supposed to be saying. But somebody looked at him and said, there's just something different about him. I think you're one of his disciples. And you remember what Peter did? He said, no, I'm not. And then a little later on, a little girl came up and said, yeah, I think you are. And man, he cussed. That's what the Bible says. They said, no, you're one of his. You can't even cuss good anymore. Just different. Different than everybody else. Look, if there's not anything different about us, we need to take a good hard look at our lives. If nobody sees it, there's a difference. And it's not, oh, look at me, I'm saved, I'm different. But if Christ really lives on the inside, the Bible says that he makes a new creature out of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you're saved by the grace of God, it ought to be very evident that you're a child of God. And you don't have to go around wearing a sign. You know, I really believe if you put me in a, you put me at a ball game, it's got 100,000 people in it. I can go down the restaurant. I believe I could find the Christians. You really can. If you get to looking around, you will see that there is just a difference between God's people and those that are not the people of God. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being mean in saying that. But I'm telling you, I've been a lot of places in this world. I've been in different countries. I've been in different states. And I've found a brother, a sister in Christ. There's just something different about them. You strike up a conversation with somebody, and it don't take very long. You'll find out they're saved by the grace of God. They'll say something like, blessed. If somebody uses the word bless in a good way, there's a good chance they're a child of God. Instead of saying, boy, I really have been lucky, they'll say, you know, I've been blessed. I hear somebody say that, you know, I think to myself, I bet they're saved. I bet they know the Lord. They know where their blessings come from. And so there's just a difference. There ought to be a prominence about us. We ought to be different. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, that's where Jesus spoke to the churches over there. And he referred to those churches as the seven candlesticks. He used that same language that we find here in verse number 15. Men do not light a candlestick to hide it under a bushel, but they put a light on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let me tell you, where you work, you're the light. Where you go to school at, you're the light. You might be the only light. Those of you that are in elementary school, high school, college, wherever you might be, you look around, you might be the only light that some of your friends will see. Where you shop at, where you work at, where you travel to, all of these things, we're to be light, we're to be prominent. It's to be evident that we are the children of God. So there's our purpose. There's the prominence. You can't hide it if you tried to. And if you can, you might not be prominent. It ought to be prominent in our lives that we're the children of God. Number three, there is a prevention here though. Look what he said in verse number 15. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, I remember learning that about that when I was a little boy in Sunday school. And they had pictures of a candle, candlestick being lit, and a bushel basket, and they put that over the top of it. And we sing a little song, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. We all know that. And so that's where that comes from. There's a prevention. There is light there in verse number 15, but something is causing that light not to shine like it should. And so we don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. What would be the purpose of that? What would be the purpose to prevent our light from shining? Well, what prevents our light from shining? We'll give you three things this morning I believe will prevent your light from shining. Number one, there's the fear of man. That's what Peter's problem was. I mean, the Lord had just been arrested. He's been hauled off to be tried. This is all taking place in the middle of the night. This is all very unusual. Hey, if they had a trial in the middle of the night over here at the courthouse, and people knew about it, wouldn't you think there's something wrong with that? Peter's afraid. Peter's scared. He's following along. He wants to see what's happening, but he's also surely afraid for his own life. And so he's not letting his light shine. Aren't you one of his disciples? No. No, I'm not one of his disciples. He's just afraid. And that's what causes us to not let our light shine sometimes. We're just afraid of man. Here's how we say it. I'm afraid what they'll think. Isn't that, don't you hear that all the time? I'm afraid of what will happen if I let my light shine. We're afraid of men. We're scared to death of what other people might think, what they might say. Have you ever been somewhere in a public place and you normally bow your head and pray, but just where you are, something makes you just hurry through it? Hey, let's pray. Lord, bless our faith. Amen. You're afraid somebody will see. You're afraid of what somebody will think. If you're somewhere like that and you feel uncomfortable praying, you might not ought to be there. Fear of man. We should not be afraid of what others think. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear is not from the Lord. But fear causes our light to be prevented. That's number one. Number two, there's fear of Satan. The Bible says that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I read a book years ago, and they were building a railroad line. I think the country was Zimbabwe. And all those people, they had hundreds and hundreds of people out there building the railroad line. And this lion kept coming into camp and eating people. There's a book about it. And I mean, it struck fear into all those workers, they weren't afraid of getting killed, digging tunnels and building. They were afraid of that lion. And boy, it would roar. And they'd hear that and it just scared them to death. I think the name of the book's The Lions of Zimbabwe or something like that. It's interesting. But if you were out in that situation and you heard a lion roar, don't you think that put fear into you? You'd say, boy, I hope that's not his belly grumbling. We got to lay down in the dark in a little while. You'd be afraid. We're afraid of Satan sometimes. Oh, if I let my light shine at work, I might get in trouble. I might get fired. I might get in trouble if I really let my light shine. Paul told Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah, you probably will be persecuted. But that's not an excuse not to let your light shine. I've read several books over the years about, I like to study history and study about the different wars, and in the Civil War, in the Vietnam War, in World War I, World War II, the troops would be out there at night, and cardinal rule number one, do not light a light. Don't light a cigarette. You get out somewhere where it's pitch dark, and somebody turns on a flashlight even for a second, or lights a lighter, well, you might as well light up the sky with a spotlight. Well, you can pick that out, and they'd be out there, and they're hiding from the enemy, and somebody'd try to light a cigarette, and man, they'd say, put that light out, you're going to get us killed. You're going to get us shot. Nobody wants to get shot in the middle of the night, but let me tell you something. We get in our minds, oh, I'd better not let my light shine. The devil will attack me. You know what? He's going to attack you anyway. And we are not hiding under darkness. Our power comes from letting our light shine. In fact, our light is so bright that our light can overcome the darkness. That's where our power comes from. Don't be afraid of letting your light shine. All that is being afraid of the devil. Well, he's going to attack you anyway. Might as well just let our light shine. We are afraid of man. We are afraid of Satan. Or number three, we love the world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all of that, it's not of the Lord. I messed that up, but you can read it. You love the world more than we love the things of God, and that could be manifested in many ways. If I love money more than I love the Lord, I might not let my light shine. I might want to get that paycheck first. I might want to get this deal done first. I might not want to say what I ought to, that I might lose financially. That's just love of the world and the things of the world. That would cause my light not to shine. It might be pride. I am prideful about something. It might be my prestige. Oh, again, I might lose my position. It might be some sin in our lives. All these things and more can cause us to hide our light, to cover our light. And we ought to ask ourselves the question, is there anything in my life that is preventing my light to shine? I think again about that little song, hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. We ought to want to let our light shine for the Lord Jesus. But there is a prevention there. Well, number four this morning, and this is what really got me thinking about this, verse number 16, notice there is permission. There's permission to let our light shine. The Bible says, let your light so shine. All of us here this morning, we have permission to let our light shine. Now I think sometimes, and I don't know where all this comes from, but I think sometimes we get the attitude that God has called us to be Mr. and Mrs. Grumpy Pants. You ever get that impression from God's people, the ones that ought to let their light shine the most? We think that there's something spiritual about being negative all the time and down all the time on everybody and everything that comes along. God's not called us to be that way. And we say, well, and I've preached this, I've said this before. Well, you can't start your car without the negative and the positive. And then that's an excuse to be negative. That, if you notice, that is never an excuse to be positive. That's an excuse to be negative, and I've said that before. And then I get lit in on something real negative.
There's a difference between being negative and being realistic. We are to be realistic, but God has not called us to be negative about everything. We are to be light. What if Jesus acted like some of us act? You ever thought about that? What if Jesus had the same attitude that some people have? Can you see Jesus saying, "Well, I don't know why I'm going to the cross for them. Sorry bunch." We are sorry bunch. What if Jesus acted like that? "I'm not going to the cross for them. Why should I go to the cross for them? They're not going to appreciate it. I don't know if I'm going to the cross for them or not. Look at their hair. Look at their earrings. Look at their tattoos. Look what they're out there doing on Sunday. Look at that bunch. They're not worth anything." Isn't that how sometimes God's people are? They ought to all. God's not called us to be that way. I'll tell you, sometimes God's people, we ought to be the most positive. We're the most negative. We're worse than the news. You can get bad news, watch the news, or talk to a child of God. They'll let you know how bad everything is. Is that not how it is? But I'm telling you, it's bad. It's dark. I know it is. But the only ones that have good news are us. And if we are always drumming on the negative all the time, then nobody's going to want to listen to anything positive that we have to say. Abigail and I had a run, not a run in, but just around this guy yesterday. And every time we passed him, he had something negative to say. He was just out there at the park. And this guy, he was cleaning up or whatever. And every time he passed us, he was throwing off. He said, "These people's got some dogs up there and they're letting them go." And then somebody else drove in. He said, "Yeah, knock the bottom out of it. Yeah, that's what you get for going over that speed bump too fast. Look where all the mud fell out." That's what he said. And you know what? When I seen him next time, I didn't want to hear what else negative he had to say. You think people ever do that to us? Here comes that Christian. They're going to throw off on somebody, something. Man, if we don't share the light, who else is going to? And if we don't share the light, if we're not like what we ought to, how would you like to find out that people avoided you because you never had anything positive or good to say about anybody or anything? How are you going to witness to them then? Why would they listen to you? We have permission. Let, the Bible says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." That's what the Bible says. I was reading, I'm in the short rows and reading my Bible this year. I read this past week, Philippians 4 and 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You know, there's not one dark, down thing in all of those. And if we think on those things, we'll talk about those things. And then I read this morning over in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And it said over there, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." You know, there's a few people in my life I can think of, they never had a bad thing to say about anybody. Do you know anybody like that? Their speech was always with grace, seasoned with salt. It's like the man that, and I know I've probably told you this before, but he always had something positive to say about somebody. And this fellow in the community died. And there wasn't anything positive to say about him. And they all wondered what that fellow would say about him. And the next Sunday they come to church, or it might have been at the man's funeral, and they was wondering what he was going to say. And he stood up and he said, "Well, he sure was a good whistler." They something good to say about everything. See, we just dwell on the dark side, but we're called to be children of light. We have permission from the Word of God to let our light shine. It's okay. Try it. It'll help you feel better. Oh, the news is so depressing. Cut it off. Come back in a week or a month, it'll still be the same old thing. If anything really major happens, you'll find out about it. Somebody will tell you. But just to continually watch and consume, it's probably not helping you spiritually. You have permission to be light. You're the light of the world. Last of all this morning, and quickly, there's the product. Look what he said in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they, here's the reason, that they, here's why the Lord wants our light to shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, not that they may see your good works and glorify you or me, but they would see our lives and they would glorify the Lord. Because I tell you, if they don't see it in us, they're not going to see it in anybody else. It's to glorify the Lord. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 18, and they came to Jesus and they called him good master. And he said, why call ye me good? There's none good but one, that's my Father. You know, if the Lord Jesus himself, when they came to him and thought that he was good and called him good, and you know what he did? You know what he did? He said, the Father. Although he's the Father. Because he was in the beginning with God, and the world was made by him, and not anything was made without him that was made. But he's teaching us there who gets the glory. It's the Lord. There's none good but one. My mama used to say that all the time. How are you doing? Good? She'd let you know, you're not good. God's only good. So I just said, learn to say I'm all right. We went to a drag race a few years ago. My brother likes to do that, and he'd drag us over there. And I didn't really care much for it, but we liked to spend time with him. And so we go over there, and we went to a drag race, and there's a car over there, and it said, I am second. And I thought, what a dumb thing to put on a drag car. And it said that in big letters, and their literature and stuff, and uniforms. I am second. And I thought, don't they want to be first? They've conceded they're going to lose before they even start. I am second. But I picked up a thing there and I got to reading about it. And the person, I can't even remember who it was now, but they were a Christian. And what they were saying was they were associated with a ministry that says, I'm not first, I'm second, the Lord's first. And when I saw that, I thought, hey, that's pretty good. That's what John said in John 3 and 30. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. John was saying, he's first, I'm second. He ought to be first, we're second. Everything we do, everything we are, ought to be to point people to him. That is the product that others would see Christ in us. And I got to thinking about this. My whole life is a result of other people letting Christ's light shine through them. You think about that this morning. Think about your godly grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, preacher, Sunday school teacher, somebody you worked with. Somebody in your life has let their light shine. And oh, what a difference it's made in your life. Think about that. I can think about grandmas. I can think about preachers. I can think about Sunday school teachers. I can think about Christian friends. Early in Kim and I, in our marriage, some good, godly Christian friends that took us into their fold, you might say. Said, come to our house after church on Sunday night. Come to Sunday school with us. They just let their light shine. What a difference. Where would I have been today without that kind of influence? What about a pastor that preached and I really sat and got fed from the Word of God? He's just letting his light shine. I was getting my soul fed, and God was changing me from the inside out. Somebody just letting their light shine, doing what God called them to do, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So I can stand here today and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let your light shine. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.